We give you glory. We bless your holy name for your love, for your kindness, for your mercies. It is for your mercy, Lord, that we are not consumed. And even as we congregate this morning to receive from the bounties of your Spirit, we ask that you will look upon us as a people that hunger and thirst after righteousness, and that you will stretch forth your hand and suffice every one of us according to your riches in glory. Bless us this morning, Lord, beyond measure. By the instrumentality of your word, bring us light, bring us wisdom, and cause us to be carried on the wings of your Spirit, even to the very depths of life, so that as we depart, Lord, we will go with the essence, the favor, and the energy of your realm to change our world for good. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you praise. Take all the glory. In Jesus' precious name.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. This is a morning session. Let's keep it calm. Let's keep it calm. Oftentimes, the temptation of swiftly tuning into the power of God is always there, especially when the hearts of people are open. But like we received the charge from the president, it's the word of the Lord that orchestrates a transformation in the hearts of men. And every generation that is bereaved of the revelation of the word of God is a lost generation. It doesn't matter the move of the Spirit or the dimensions they walk in. The word of God is the boundary of preservation for a generation. And the heritage of God is communicated to a generation through the instrumentality of his word. And so this morning, we'll be trusting the Lord to instruct us in his ways, so that the least one among us will become as strong as David. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. Your conference is tagged the Holy Mountains. This morning, we are going to look of terms. It's by evening that I will look deeper into the dynamics of the tag for this conference. I'll just take for granted that everybody knows what we are here for, and on the strength of that, bring some very quick definitions, and then we'll go home and prepare our spirits for the evening service. The evening service will be an impartation service. There are lots of things that we can communicate cognitively, but when you interact with spirits, it's the experience of their reality that translates to relevance. So if you don't touch the essence and the reality of a spirit, everything you know is just a cliche. And you may be very bold and proud about what you say if you not translate to any difference on the landscape. So in the evening, we'll see how, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we will be communicating knowledge as a body of spirits. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, we'll look at the concept, and then we'll look at how we can journey into the place of the holy mountains in the spirit, and then we'll look at the operations that characterizes the holy mountain. We'll try to see what the holy mountain is, how to journey to the holy mountains of God, and then the operations of the spirit that characterizes the holy mountains. You know, it's important for you to understand certain concepts in the kingdom. Because if you don't understand them, you may waste your life thinking you are pleasing the Lord in the many activities that you do. If you don't understand very fundamental concepts in your dealings in the kingdom of God, you will waste your life. The walk with God is the walk of faith. But if that walk is not couched in understanding, it becomes a risk. Because you may journey to the end of the tunnel and discover you walked in the wrong direction and you wasted your life. We are in a generation where everything that is spiritual is characterized as an emotional operation. So a lot of people are deceived, thinking because the emotional frequency is heightened and they have some experiences and they bask in the euphoria of the atmosphere, they feel it translates directly to spirituality. Yes, spirituality impacts the emotion, but it is not an economy that runs on the frequency of your emotions. The pillars and the blocks upon which the strength of your walk with God is built must be well defined, and the very facts of spirit realities must be very well defined before whatever you do can translate to meaning. Else you'll be taking a risk that you have not very well quantified. You see, spirits are not men. Their ways are different. So it's important for you not to walk with spirit on the strength of assumptions. Your assumptions may look very logical and intelligent, but that they are intelligent does not mean they are spiritual. For example, men consider love as affection, and love is demonstrated by the exchange of affections. And on the strength of our affection, we can even furnish it with gifts. But spirits have nothing to do with affection when they talk about love. When you deal with spirit, love is obedience. So that will reveal to you how worlds apart the operations of men and spirit are. Your affection may become the greatest definition of your love, but for a spirit, the degree to which you love him is the degree to which you obey him. So Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Because he is talking from a height in Zion that only the spiritual can discern. That's why he said the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God, because first of all they are foolishness unto him. He said neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That it sounds logical does not make it spiritual. What makes it spiritual is the substance of life that is furnished from the Holy Ghost himself, and everything that is void of the impartation of the Holy Spirit has no place in eternity. You may carry it out with all your power, but it will not strike a chord where it matters. And even spiritual activities like prayer are useless if they are not couched in the realm of the Spirit. The name of Jesus is useless if it is not demonstrated or released in the Spirit. Your praise and your worship is useless if it is not conducted in the Spirit. What makes the difference is the realm from whence you are speaking and the one who furnishes the utterance. That is why a lot of people run into all kinds of contradictions, because the faith preacher comes to them and say, if you say in the name of Jesus, the mountains will move. But have you not checked that you have said the name of Jesus for many years and your mountains are becoming bigger? Sometimes we go to God in our contradiction and we honestly tell the Lord, we believe, and truthfully we believe. Sometimes we can even risk our lives because we know we believe. But why is there no difference? Because we don't understand that spiritual economies do not run on their reasonability. They run on the strength of their spirituality. And spirituality is a reality that is furnished by the Holy Ghost himself and carried out in the Spirit. The Bible said in John chapter 4 verse 24, he said, they that worship must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You know, preachers have interpreted that scripture to be worship in tongues. It's not tongues. If you look at the original translation, it means to worship the Father, you must enter into the Spirit and worship in the Spirit. That is the literal translation. But very few understand the way to the Spirit. So we carry out spiritual activities in the flesh. Everything that is flesh is corruption. If the name of Jesus is uttered in the flesh, it's corruption. If the word of God is quoted or ministered in the flesh, it's corruption. What animates the word and brings it to life is the Spirit. That is why the life of Jesus is constantly characterized by spirit-based operation. Jesus was the Son of God, full of authority, but he did nothing in his authority. The Bible said in Luke 4:14 that he returned in the power of the Spirit. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible said, after that he had given commandment to the apostles by the Spirit. Even the ministrations of Jesus were in the Spirit. That's why he said in John 6:63 that the words I speak, they are not intelligent words. They are spirit and they are life. So when Jesus comes to you, his goal is not to alter something that is novel. His goal is to alter a word that is coming from the womb of the Spirit. You see, the revival that is coming is going to be activated by the utterance of the Spirit. But because utterance have become the catalyst that the Holy Ghost wants to use for this revival, a lot of people are out preaching the gospel in verbosious and very articulate English language. It is not a function of English language. Utterance is a word that is energized by the Holy Ghost, a word that is birthed from the womb of the Spirit. That is why when you hear a word that is an utterance, it stirs hunger in your spirit, it empowers your spirit, and it quickens you to enter into the Spirit. Everything Jesus did was in the Spirit. A lot of people are sick, and then they keep quoting, by his stripes I'm healed. I heard a strange word from Benny Hinn that shook the foundations of my faith. He said that it's in the Bible does not mean it is yours. You lay hold on it in the Spirit before it is yours. People are quoting, by his stripes they are healed, and they die because they are quoting it in the flesh. It's not real to them, but they believe that by saying it over and over, or getting emotional about it, sometimes we even begin to cry and we shut down our reasoning, and then we are nodding our head. That you say it quick does not energize it until it becomes real, and it can only be real in the Spirit. Even the sacrifice of Jesus, having satisfied the claims of divine justice, was not accepted. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14 that he, after the eternal Spirit, it was offered, he offered himself up by the eternal Spirit. Jesus understood that without the Holy Ghost, there is no reality that can be animated. Everything done outside the womb of the Spirit has one name. It's called flesh, and the destination is corruption. Many Christians don't know anything about the Spirit. When we speak about the holy mountains, we are talking about the womb of the Spirit. We are not talking about a hilltop. We are talking about the place of the presence, where the Holy Ghost and his reality have absolute authority for operation. There are few Christians there. We are many in church, but there are few in the Spirit. And that is why we talk a lot, but very little happens. We boast in the name of Jesus, but our life is a statement of a contradiction of the things that form the canons of our faith. A man speaks so boldly about healing, yet is bastardized with sickness. A man screams so much about the power of the Holy Spirit, yes, his life is a charade. His life is a definition of waste. A man speaks so much about righteousness, but is a puppet in the hands of Spirit. Every day of his life he lives in secret sins. So there is a confusion in his life. The things he believed and the things he has as his present hour reality are worlds apart. He cannot understand why the things he believed cannot become his reality. The difference is the Spirit. Until a man understands how to journey into the Spirit, his walk with God has not begun. I want to show you this morning, because the holy mountain is the presence. It's the presence. It's not a hilltop. He said in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 22, he said, "Thou have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." It's not a scripture to quote. It's an experiential location in the Spirit. And everyone who is supposed to be numbered among the saints should have a place in that experiential spiritual location. If you have not come to that spot, every activity you carry out in time will not appear in the radars of Zion. You know, when you are at the airport, the way you dictate the plane is that you check the dot. The light appears like a dot in the radar. If you can't see it in the radar, it's not there. Even if it's coming, there could be an accident in the airspace because it is not highlighted in the radar. Until you have come into the spirit, what you are doing is not highlighted. You may be leading worship and you have a golden voice and you are singing and you are crying. What is happening is that the melody is the one touching your emotional cord. When you enter the spirit will come alive. And I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. Some years ago, I listened to Bishop David Oyedepo. I heard his messages. I could repeat and recite the whole messages. I scored his messages. I quoted the scriptures he quoted with the same kind of intensity, but nothing was happening. Lord, what is wrong? I collided with Apostle Romeo, sir. I will hear the man of God for 8 hours. I came out those days. If I cough, you think it's Apostle Romeo. Every phrase, every sentence, his gesticulations, everything. But I will not have the experience. When I'm talking, people will be clapping and laughing. Wow, this guy can speak English. Meanwhile, if Apostle speaks, people weep. There's hunger in their spirit. I say, what? Where is this thing coming from? I mastered the ways in the mind. I was a man of the flesh. I didn't understand that this man spoke from the ambience of the presence. They were talkers from heaven. They were not people that speak on earth. Jesus said, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He was walking in the streets of Galilee when he made the statement. He understood that nothing will move because he's the Son of God. Everything will move because he is in the spirit. He made the spirit realm his hiding place. The man will leave a crusade very tired, and you will hear Jesus run to the mountain. Sometimes the Bible will say he will drive everybody away, including his disciples. Enter the ship and go to the other side. Why did he pursue the spirit so much? That was his secret. You know, people say prayer is the secret. Prayer is not the secret. Muslims pray, and some pray more than you. The Hindus pray, and most of them pray far much more than you do. The difference is the presence. If the presence of the Holy Spirit is not a cardinal part of what you are doing, you're only exercising yourself in the flesh. The difference between your prayer and the prayer of the Muslim man is the Spirit of God. Not that you call the name of Jesus, because even demons call the name of Jesus. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who art thou? So the name of Jesus is not what makes the difference. It's the Spirit in the name that makes the difference. Hope you remember Jesus was called Jesus from the day he was born. But the Bible said after the sacrifice of alignment was satisfied, the claims of divine justice was met. And he said the Lord gave him a name that is above every other name. Something was added to the name of Jesus. It is the authority of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the one that animates the dimensions of God. You can hear a message of a man and quote it. People may call you names and you become famous. You will have no impact on the landscape. You will be in a church and you will be sleeping with the people in the choir. And all kinds of wardom will be going on. Even if you are righteous, you will not be able to alter anything in their lives. They will hear you every day, but they will live in perpetual sin. Because what makes the difference is the animation of the Spirit. Before you begin to bother yourself to know so much, because there are many people saying a lot of things, learn the way of the Spirit first. When you know the Holy Ghost, he solves the problem. You know, people try to stand on pulpits and say a lot of things. If God begins to announce you, you'll be tired of preaching.
from Monday till now, this is my 8th ministration. And as I'm rounding up from here tomorrow, I'll be in Jos for another 3 sessions before Sunday night. Preaching is not the focus. It's the Holy Ghost. The holy mountain is the womb of the Spirit. It's the place of the presence. Many don't know it. It will take a lot of yieldedness to the Holy Spirit to get there. And that leads me to talk about how to get to the presence. You don't get to the presence because you are born again. No, sir. We are all born again, but most of us are in the flesh. Legally, you have the right to the presence, but experientially, many are far. I want to keep it calm this morning to instruct you, so that you know what to begin to do consciously. Because most of us have become famous as choir heads. The whole campus, they know you. If they say worship, if any big man of God is coming, you are the one. And that you heard a song, and the song you hear is so much and is playing in your mind, does not mean you are in the spirit. Your soul is a processor. So anything you hear over time, your soul begins to repeat it. They say there's a crusade, that the Kumuye is coming, you are the one. Bishop David Oyedepo is coming, you are the one. Apostle Arubosa is coming, you are the one. That doesn't mean you are a spiritual person. You could be a very talented lady. And that you know how to exhort people. You pick this scripture, pick this scripture, pick this scripture, and then you phrase it in very intelligent utterance. It doesn't mean you are spiritual. You must be a man of the presence to stand in the holy mountains of God. And it takes so much to get there. It takes so much, my brother, to get there. Very few find it in this life. Very few Christians walk in the presence. Very few. What do you do to get to the presence? The first thing you need to know is that the presence is not something you get to by your zeal. It is revealed. It's revealed. And you are carried. I know a lot of people, you know, I come from a place of prayer. So most of the things we study, see, we have seen the practicals. We've seen the practicals of most of the things we study. There are times when we go to pray in tongues and we gauge ourselves at different hours. What will happen if I pray in tongues straight for 3 hours, for 6 hours, for 9 hours, for 12 hours, for 15 hours, for 18 hours? What will be the impact? The way you go and play football and you are learning leg over. That's how we exercise ourselves. We are a people of prayer, where I come from. My friend Victor Obe, he can begin to pray very loud like this, and he will be walking like this for 18 hours. It's not under your breath. Very in high intensity, and he will be moving like this for 18 hours. Sometimes we go for vigil. You know, when we're in the flesh, you know, you can be so much in the flesh in the place of prayer. If the Holy Ghost is not at work, you don't understand. When you experiment these things, you understand. You will humble yourself first, because you know you are a man of the flesh. Go for vigil, and then vigil is 10. I will not call anybody's name for this one. I don't know who hear the message. Come by 6 p.m. and then begins to blast in tongue. People around, maybe they will go and bath, come back. Some will go and eat. When it's 10, people are coming for VG. That's when the guy is adding gear. When the VG finish by 3, the guy is that time he's on gear 5. Then you see even the movement that time, because his body, something else is at work in him. Then you go for the VG, you go and sleep and wake up around 10 in the morning. Then you are still hearing the voice. You come back after the VG, you come and give him seed. Say, take. Something, there is something at work in your life. Because you know that it is not within the regions of mortality to exert such capacity. It must have to be by the technology of a spirit working within him. And then most people see the guy flowing at that level of grace. And then when they come for prayer, they want to match.
Then when they are praying, is a man running a rat race. What he's doing is competition, is of the flesh. And some can go like that for 6 hours. And they will maintain that schedule for months. That's why prayer is not spirituality. It's a walk with the spirit. The herbalist is more spiritual than most of us. The herbalist. He understands the ways of his spirit. The spirit he walks with. He knows the things that pleases him. He knows what to do for the realm to open for him. He knows what to do to manipulate the protocols of the realm. But you who is a Christian, everything that that attacks you or challenges you, you are lost. That is because the technology of the spirit is not at work. Even the voice of God cannot be heard unless in the spirit. That's why most of us walk by assumption. You say, I hear God when they are giving an open-ended word of knowledge. They come and God is saying that in this month he wants us to pray. There's a burden for prayer. Let's pray because God wants to do something. They just look at what is happening and bring assumption and say it's the voice of God. Then when they want to marry, the person that has the voice of God that speaks to the whole fellowship, now she wants to marry. And then she doesn't know who God is saying. And fellowship, when the power of God is moving, that's it, the Lord, that's it, the Lord. But when there is a real challenge, say, what do you think about this? This one is one or two. It's not an open-ended word of knowledge. Then you discover that the voice of God is scarce. Because there are few that know the path to the spirit. I can come here and start talking, and in 10 minutes, everybody is crying, screaming, and falling everywhere. But I came to realize it doesn't change people. The tangibility of your understanding is your security in your walk with God. If you don't have a definite understanding and apply your life to it, you have taken a very terrible risk. Very terrible risk. And many Christians are living a life of great risk. There are most in crisis today. They go and cry before God, and they have cried like that for 6 months. Nothing is happening. Won't you come back and say, come, wait, how does this thing work? How does this thing work? Because at first you thought crying makes a difference. You have cried for days and the cancer is growing. The kidney infection is increasing. How does this thing work? People deceive themselves a lot and they think they please God. How do you journey into the presence? First is that what? It is revealed and you are carried. The psalmist said, quicken us, O Lord, that we may call upon your name. So the prayers that strike a chord in the realm of the spirit is a prayer that comes by the quickening of the Holy Ghost. Quicken us. Quicken us. They are not shouting in tongues, and while they are speaking in tongues, when everybody's voice go down, then they'll now say, okay, at least this way we're going to say, we no be equal, we no be mate. That's somebody who is praying. They were speaking in tongues. Many people were shouting. So he was there. When everybody got tired, they now say, okay, at least now they will know we are not equals. That's the man who have been praying in tongues for 3 hours. He's in the flesh. He's not quickened. Quicken us that we may call upon your name. I wish Christians would just settle down and learn basic things. Basics. Learn basic things and just begin to apply it every day. Your life will change radically. Radically. I know a lot of people who hunger to talk things, bogus things about. If we could settle down. You know, this is the morning session. So, in the evening, I will not be like this. In the evening, I will actually come with a garment of fire. That one, let me tell you ahead of time. I will come in the fullness of a revivalist. But this morning, I need to share some things with you because I may not have the opportunity again. Some of you think prayer is spirituality. So, you pray in the flesh for many years. It doesn't make a difference. And that brings me to the second thing. To be carried, you must be surrendered. When you pray, the first thing you do in the place of prayer is to surrender.
else you will pray in the flesh for a long time and you will strengthen your will. That's why the hardest people for God to talk to are those who pray. They believe they hear God. And you look at most of them, they are walking in error, but they can never hear. The hardest people to counsel are the people that say they are spiritual. The journey into the spirit is a journey of surrender. Because in this mountain you will be carried there. You labor in the flesh. The Bible said the labor of the foolish wearies every one of them, because they know not to enter the city. The reason your process takes long is not because process lasts for 10 years. It's not because process lasts for 15 years. And it's not because process lasts for 3 years. There's no formula to it. It is when you yield that your process ends. When you learn the way of surrender, that's when your process ends. The journey through the wilderness was supposed to be for 11 days. It lasted for 40 years because the people will not bend their neck. The Bible said they were a people of a stiff neck. So wilderness is not the idea of God. Wilderness is a product of rebellion. To be taught the ways of the Spirit. They did not notice that everybody that went to the wilderness, the whole generation perished. Because they had an evil heart. It was only Caleb and Joshua that came out. Every other person that made it was born there. They didn't know the ways of Egypt. See, Christian, wilderness. Process is not time-based. Process is obedience-based. If you are not yielded, your own process will be 20 years. So don't bring your process as a doctrine. I don't want to hear it. Because what God is using you to do, somebody else was used for 6 months. But in Nigeria here, because of our arrogance, most times it takes an average of 10 years. Because the guy will not hear. He will never hear. He will never hear. He wants to move in power. Come for meeting. The Holy Ghost say, calm down. Tell the people about my love. But everybody heard of him. They came. How will they come? And then he will not move in power. And then, Holy Ghost, move. Then Satan is wise. He will inspire a lot of things to happen. And then one or two people fall down. And they are shaking everywhere. And they say he's an apostle of power. Well, the last time I read the Bible, power is not a product of people falling down. There are threefold operation of power. One is deliverance from the power of the devil. Two is healing. Three is working of miracle. Four is faith. So that your meeting that 30 people fell down, how many people were healed of tangible infirmities? How many were delivered from the powers of the devil? And many months we came back and we say, this one was an immoral person, but now she's burning. Because the transforming power went into that person and broke the cords of darkness. Rebellious generation. We are so arrogant. Because there are books available online, messages online. We read this message, hear this one, and then we come to say it. And then you see a 10-year-old boy come on Facebook and is challenging Benihim. You think spirituality is about knowledge. It's about experience. How much of God have you experienced? That Bishop Oyedepo say is wrong. How can he say that? Come on. We respect these people, but come on, man. And this guy has never read the Bible. He doesn't even have the discipline to sit down and read the Bible. He heard one quote from one man, heard another quote from another man. We need to be helped. That's why the way of surrender is scarce. It's difficult in our time. There are many who don't know how to surrender. The Holy Ghost will hold them on the neck. It can't work. You can't be relevant with God. Because relevance is not even a function of what you are doing on earth. What you are doing on earth could be by the agency of a devil. They came to him. They said, we work miracles in your name. He said, away from me, workers of iniquity. So the devil can help you to carry out miracles. They are called lying wonders. Even what you call casting out devils, there is exorcism. Where demons can cooperate with themselves to deceive you and make you feel you are healing a deliverance minister. So you came, you say, get out. The demon will tell, just go. Meanwhile, he has bound you in perpetual immorality. So you are living immorality, you say, but I'm casting out devils. Come on, the anointing is working. You don't know that demons are cooperating to put you in bondage so that you will never amount to anything in God.
the way of surrender. For you to be popular among the immortals on earth, you must be completely broken. He said, as a prince, thou have power with God and have prevailed. How did he become a prince? Not because he was a custodian of the Abrahamic blessing. He became a prince because he was broken. The guy was blessed before he left the house. But when he encountered the angel of the Lord, they wrestled all night. When his flesh was dealt with, he now realized that even though the blessing legally was already spoken over him, he had no apprehension of it. He now said, I won't let you go until you bless me. That's why most of us have power, we will never manifest it. And the angel touched his thigh bone and broke it. That was from the day the man leaned on his staff. He needed a support. The day he began to lean on a support and his confidence moved from himself, that day in heaven he became a prince. His coronation came on the strength of his brokenness. As a prince, thou hast power with God and have prevailed. Is the journey into the spirit realm, is the journey of surrender. You know that you are born again does not mean you are there. The only thing that was revealed to you when you got born again was the resurrected Jesus. So it's the revelation of the resurrection that implants immortality in your spirit. That's why at salvation, you were not asked to go and repent from all your sins. They just told you to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And that was what you confessed. That means you believe that in Jesus there is power over death. And on the strength of your faith in the immortality of Jesus, the same economy is communicated into your spirit. The reason most times you go for crusade and they say, come and rededicate your life, is because at salvation you actually carried out two confessions. The first confession you carried out was the confession of the immortality of Jesus. That's the resurrection. The second confession is the confession of the Lordship of Jesus. One is once and for all. The other, you will repeat it many times. Because in the area of every area of disobedience, when you realize the Lordship of Jesus, you confess him again and then you surrender again. The day you got born again, immortality was planted in your spirit, but your soul was rebellious. So as you go, the Holy Ghost said, don't lie again. Then you say, Lord. You go and say, don't fornicate again. You say, Lord. You go and say, don't steal again. You say, Lord. You go and say, begin to fast and pray. You say, Lord. So the confession of the Lordship is perpetual. That's why repentance is after remission of sin. Every time you bow again from your old way, you are confessing the Lordship of Jesus. It's a journey of continuous surrender, because there will be a progressive instruction of the Holy Ghost coming in your direction if you are healthy in the spirit. Unless you are not healthy. If you are healthy, you will keep hearing. The Bible said, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So as you go deeper in the kingdom, you will receive new laws. Maybe the day you give your heart to Christ, eating in the morning is not a crime. But now God is conferring responsibility on you, so it will be a sin for you to eat. That is not a doctrine. It's organic life. It's relationship. That's why Samuel said, I will not sin against the Lord by not praying for you. For Samuel, if he doesn't pray for Israel, it's a sin. Because therein is the righteousness of God revealed. There is the general righteousness of God, and there is an ordination-based righteousness. Because you are a prophet, God will tell you, you will pray every night. For you to be accurate with God, you must pray every night. That one is so that the weight of your calling can manifest. It's the journey of surrender. The journey of surrender. Many don't know it. That's why we are arrogant. But when you find it, you become a prince. You pursue men of God, you think that's the way. It's a lie. The best thing a man of God has to give you is the precepts of God. Even if he gives you everything God has given him, you will not walk in it until you bow to the precepts of God. If you have not learned the way of obedience, you can't walk in it. That was why Paul lived with Timothy. He anointed him, the presbytery laid hands on him. But he told him to fan it to flame. He gave him instructions to bring those things to pass. The whole presbytery that represented the government of the church in their day, they laid hands on Timothy, because it was obvious that everything God had in mind, Timothy was the one to carry out that heritage to the next generation. It was not in doubt that he was the lead among every other young person rising. At the age of 17, he was ordained a bishop of Ephesus. How?
hands were laid on him, gifts were imparted, but it will never manifest until he learns the path of surrender. The journey of surrender is the journey into kingdom relevance, but very few find it. As a prince, thou hast power with God. The revelation you received on salvation is the revelation of the resurrected Christ. If that is all you have, you will never walk in the presence. My best teacher in this topic is Benny Hinn. Oh, bless Benny Hinn. He will use the tabernacle to illustrate the journey of the presence. The journey. The Holy Ghost reveals Jesus for you. You give your heart to Christ. Then the next thing you meet in the tabernacle is the altar of sacrifice. The altar of sacrifice reveals the cross. The cross speaks only one language: death. Death to flesh. Everything that is of the old creation, the cure to it is the cross. The old creation can never journey into God. It must pass through a junction in the spirit called the cross. It's when the old creation journeys into the cross that a new man is born. It's the cross that places a continuous demand on the flesh to die. And if you carry the garbage of flesh, you cannot travel deep enough to touch the presence. When the revelation of the cross comes to you, it is twofold. The first fold shows you the dimensions of iniquity and the possibilities of the fall. So it orchestrates repentance in your spirit. A man who has not been given the revelation of the cross doesn't repent. Most of the thing we call repentance is in the flesh. That's why we are telling God that we will not lie again. The next person you speak to, you lie. You are telling God that we will not fornicate again. The next time you visit the boy, you fornicate. Because you confessed in the flesh. There is no repentance in the flesh. Repentance is an economy that is only operational in the spirit. And that happens when you are convicted. It is when the revelation of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is revealed to you that conviction can come into your spirit. And until a man is convicted, he can't repent. That's why most of us live in sin perpetually. Because when you repent, the power of sin is broken. But it comes when the revelation of the cross is given to you. Do you see why we depend on God every day? Because in this kingdom, you don't have any way to shine. Anything called shining is in Christ. You can't shine in this kingdom. The realm is designed such that you can never take credit for anything. So we latch onto the Holy Spirit. We are fasting and praying. The goal is not to fast for 10 hours, for 21 days. The goal is not to pray in tongues for 15 hours. The goal is to apprehend the Holy Ghost. What are you saying? If he has not spoken for 3 days, the prayer continues. Because the target is not time. It's good to pray for long. It exercises your spirit. But the focus is the spirit himself. You are there until he speaks. You hold on to him, because if the Holy Ghost does not reveal the cross, the preacher may quote all the scriptures about the cross. You may memorize it and quote it, but you may still be living in sin and quoting, "By his stripes I'm healed. The chastisement of my peace was upon him." But you are thinking about immorality in your heart, because you are a being. You are not a puppet. If you were a puppet or a robot, we could program you with instructions. But you are a being, so you flow by life. And until the Holy Ghost reveals reality to your spirit, life cannot flow. It is the revelation of the cross. This is the journey into the presence. Many don't have it because they are too full of themselves. When you surrender to the Holy Ghost, then he begins to show you the protocol of the mountain. He said, "Who shall come to the mountain of God? Who shall stand upon his holy hills? Him that hath not lifted off his heart in vanity, whose hand is of a clean hand and a pure heart." How do you make your heart pure? What economy has the power to make your heart pure? You can choose to become a monk today. Don't go out again. Don't look at a woman and meditate for 15 years. You will still be iniquitous. Because what is affecting you is first of all in nature before it is an act. And only the Holy Spirit sustains the power to journey into the nature and reconfigures it, because it was by him that you were designed. It's the revelation of the cross. You see why in Christianity our root is deeper than the tree. We travel deep on the ground before we manifest. If you jump up and begin to shout, you have no root. Even Satan will leave you first. When you become popular, then he will shoot you. And then you become a public ridicule to the name of God and the body of Christ.
Don't rush to shout. Allow the Holy Ghost announce you. Because the Holy Ghost announced finished products. Have you seen a company? Oh my goodness. The revelation of the cross. It deals with the flesh. And when the Holy Ghost is done with that, then it carries you to the liver. It is in the liver that the Holy Ghost is rubbed into you. He washes you. He purges you. He renews you. That's when oneness and intimacy begins. You know, most of us that follow the instruction of the Holy Ghost, don't do this, don't do this, and we are looking at him for help. Sometimes you do that thing until you are tired. You don't enjoy intimacy yet. Because intimacy is not a protocol that happens when you are obeying. In obedience, you cry because the flesh is being judged. When you begin to satisfy the demands of surrender, then the Holy Ghost begins to allow the texture of his reality to rub off on you. That's when God gives you an instruction, you are happy. They say, empty your pocket and give us an offering. And then you say, thank God. How do you imagine that the apostles were beaten and flogged and they came back giving glory to the Lord, that they were counted worthy to be flogged in the name of Jesus? See, something has happened to the flesh. Priorities have changed, ambitions have changed, value systems have changed because their nature has been altered. When you want to kill them, they will look at you and say, please, when you crucify me, don't face my head up, because my Lord was faced up, face me down. It's the walking of the cross. Now they say, hey, God say, go to Meduguri. Say, hey, no, I didn't hear God. Meduguri. You have not seen the cross. So you are still living for yourself. You still have ambitions that you carry like an egg and you preserve it with all your life. Say, marry this man. Say, hey, this man. The person I want to marry is tall and fair. It can't be this man. God will speak again. You cannot be popular among the immortals. The way of the cross, it deals with the flesh. And when you satisfy that claim of obedience, then you begin to sense the Holy Spirit. That's when you go to the place of prayer and prayer becomes sweet. Others are checking the time to pray for 4 hours. You are there, you say, Holy Father. And the next time you open your eyes in the night. Meanwhile, you knelt down around 8 a.m. What has happened? The Holy Ghost is rubbing into you. It's rubbing into you. That's where you are purged. Your proclivities are beginning to worship me. You know, before you enter the Holy of Holies, all of these things must happen to you. The flesh must die because it's not a place where you transact on the strength of flesh. You must be sanctified because him, the Bible said, thou, O God, art of a purer eyes. Your eyes cannot behold iniquity. So you must be washed by the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is not a function of rules. It is intimacy with God. He washes you up. Jesus said, the words I have spoken, they've washed you. By what means? Because the words I speak, they are spirit, they are life. It is the systems of the liver. And when you enter into the inner court, the menorah is there. And then the altar of shewbread is there. And then the altar of incense is ahead of you. When you interact with these three things, you can enter the presence. Do you see that the presence is more difficult than the move of power? That's why most people move in power in disobedience. Have you not come to that point where you do what you want to do and you know it's not the will of God? Then you go back and you are crying, hey God, forgive me. God, you were moving in power. When you want to move in the presence, you must have perfect obedience. The gate is the revelation of the resurrected Christ. The altar of sacrifice is the revelation of the cross. The lava is the revelation of the sanctification or the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. The altar of shewbread is the revelation of the word. That's when you open scriptures, it becomes sweet. You can sit down and hear messages for 10 hours. What is happening? You want to eat, you can't stand up. The thing is sweet. In Jeremiah 15:16, say, I found thy word. I did eat them, and they became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Suddenly you read the scriptures. You are digging. You are digging a good mine. You are digging. It's not that every morning I will read 5 scriptures. It's good. Discipline is good. Because before you get to that point where the Holy Ghost can hang you up, you need discipline to keep up. Because if you allow your system open and porous, the devil will take advantage. And if you get distracted, you are gone. If you don't make reading of the Bible a habit or prayer a lifestyle, Facebook will replace it. And from Facebook, it will become pornography. And from pornography, it will become three boyfriends. And then it will become abortion. And it will become death. So discipline is good. We don't talk down on discipline. But we are telling you that beyond rules is an organic life. Because the children of Israel obeyed these rules for 1,500 years. There was no life. The systems of the presence. The presence. At the altar of shewbread, the word of God is revealed. You know the word of God. That's when you don't just come because you use the concordance to gather the scriptures accordingly and then you are quoting it the way you crammed it. No. When you are flowing, the word of God will flow out of you like a river. I had my message there, but as I'm standing here, I'm flowing by inspiration. The things I'm telling you, I didn't premeditate it. You have interacted with the word of God. The Holy Ghost has brought you to the altar of shewbread. The word has become real. That's when the ideologies of your ancestors will no longer have authority over you. Let me tell you something. You can still be a Christian and be a slave of spiritual patterns. Spiritual altars are dealt with by the cross. But spiritual patterns will continue. Because spiritual patterns are programs that are facilitated by rebellious spirits. So even though curse is not supposed to be part of you, sickness is not supposed to be part of you, a demon can force it. So there is no legal base in the spirit, but because they are rebellious, they will keep doing it until you fight them out. That's why when we go to cast out devils, we just command them. Because we know they don't have any legal basis. Hope you know demons were not casted out in the Old Testament. There were legal grounds. At best, you exorcise them and use songs and sounds to draw their attention away. But in the New Testament, there's no legal ground, so we rebuke them, we cast them out. But if you don't have the revelation of the word of God in your spirit, demons will still play over your life. So the system of the presence is the system of absolute dominion in the world. It brings you into absolute dominion. The word of God becomes real. The gates reveals the resurrected Christ. The altar of sacrifice reveals the cross. The lava reveals the sanctifying power of the Holy Ghost. The altar of shewbread reveals the word of the Lord. And then the menorah, it reveals to you the mind of God, the will of God for your life. That's when, at first you join the fellowship, you love singing. But now you have a personal walk with God. And suddenly, you begin to know that you are a prophet. So the sounds you are hearing is not just to sing. Those sounds, they are transport system. So suddenly when you hear sound now, you are not in a rush to write a song and go and sing in the church. If you start hearing sound, you step back and you shut the door. You know an encounter is coming. Because the sound comes to suck you into the spirit realm. And every time you follow that sound, suddenly an angel appears. Then you now realize that, oh, the will of God for me is a prophet. Oh, if I pastor, you understand what I'm saying. 90% of people that meet you, they'll say, what does God want me to do? They don't have a relationship with him. If they begin to practice the presence, questions of callings are not questions to ask. Did you read anywhere in the Bible where the Bible said God told the disciples that they will be apostles? Suddenly in Acts chapter 2, they began to introduce themselves as apostles. What happened? They have journeyed far enough to discover who they were. Where did you read the Bible? It was in the Old Testament that God will say, I'm making you a prophet. In the New Testament, we walk into it. We walk and then we find ourselves. Ah, I'm not an evangelist. I'm a leader. My place is in the government. So as I'm walking my way through the government, I know I'm a witness of Zion. Because I have journeyed to the menorah. I know the mind of God concerning my life. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. He didn't say, I know the words I wrote concerning you. If you don't journey until the illuminated dimension of the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you can't find and factor the mind of God for you. And hope you know that your calling and your destiny is peculiar to you. You will not find it by reading the Bible. It's not there. They didn't say Titus is a prophet or Timothy is an apostle. It's not written there. That one, you find it if you journey to the point of the menorah. Then the Lord reveals to you, this is my mind towards you. You will even journey until God will say, your right hand have been anointed with power. Anytime you sense the hand vibrating in a meeting, lift it, the healing anointing is there. So you can come for a healing service and you are playing, you are gisting, you are
somebody else who does not know. He will need to open every scripture that talk about healing to build the faith of the people. But you come for healing service, you'll just be playing or you'll be worshiping. When your right hand begin to move, you don't need their faith. The power for healing have come. You know what is at work. It's organic life.
I went for Benny Hinn's conference. They were just worshiping. He was teaching. He finished teaching. He started worshiping. He said, the power have not hit the building. The man knew when that second when the power comes. And instantly begins to command demons. And you see people rising from witches.
He said at one point in Ohio, he went for a crusade. He just walked into the building and 43 cripples rose from witches. 40, not one, not two, 43 cripples rose from which year. He was so saturated with who he was. He knew it. You know, sometimes we are motivated.
So when five people tell you you are an apostle, they now come and tell you three prophets have confirmed it.
But there's no knowing on their inside. Even if the whole prophet in the world gather together in one stadium and say, you are an apostle, you will not walk in it. Until it is illuminated in your spirit by the menorah. It's the journey of the presence. That's how you come to the holy mountains where you wield the powers of God. There are few that can wield the hand of God. Because very few of us travel in the spirit. The illuminating powers of the spirit. By the time you get to that point, that's when you can worship God. You know, worship is not singing. Singing helps your soul to align. But worship is actually the transference of the substance of glory on your inside to God. Everything God puts in you that makes his essence real to you, you surrender it back to him. That's why sometimes in the place of worship you are crying. That's why sometimes in the place of worship you are making sacrifice. It's a statement that everything that makes me relevant is yours. You open up yourself to God again so that the spirit man can give praise. In the heavens where the elders worship God, they did it by lying down and casting their crown. Their throne and their crown are the signatures of the authority in the heavens. But when worship begins, they cast all of those things away. These are technologies in the spirit. Did you not notice, those of you that sing, there are some chords you can never strike until you bend. Because that thing is deep. You must have to stretch backward until it flows out of you. It is a release of essence, the release of glory as a sacrifice before the throne of God. If you have not come to the point where your flesh is disarmed, the will of God is revealed, and the intimacy of the work of the spirit within you is activated, your spirit can't worship God. Most of the things we call worship are exercised in the flesh. That's why the lady is leading worship. All she's trying to do is to turn her hair like this so that you see the long hair she made from the salon yesterday. She's still conscious of everybody seeing. The guy is on the altar worshiping. He sacks his trouser like this and then he's doing like this. As he's checking out the people who are admiring him and he says he's worshiping. You don't know what you are doing. When you worship, you die. Everything flesh dies. The first time a man worshiped God in the Bible was Genesis 22 verse 5. Abraham was giving up his only prized jewel, priceless jewel, Isaac. He was going to offer Isaac. And in Genesis 22 verse 5, he said, wait at the foot of the mountain and we go and worship. Do you know how to climb the mountains? It's not stones and bricks you hold to climb. It's surrender. You surrender. Everything that gives you value, you surrender. Because it's a statement of absolute trust. That if my whole vulnerability is presented before God, I'm still certain that he is the one that holds the key to my life. And I will never be relevant until he speaks concerning me. It's the way of relevance. The journey to the mountain is the journey of relevance. Because it's a traffic into the presence of God. But very few find it. Very few find it. Most of us are still full of ambition. And then we come, we say God wants to use us to change the world. Which world? The world that is your taskmaster. They didn't already in the Bible. Everybody God used to change the world. He first of all separate him from the world. Because the world that disciple you, you can't change it. He is your master. In Luke 1:8, he said the child John was in the wilderness.
until the day of his showing forth unto Israel. If he's trained by the system, how can he correct the system? He's thinking like the system. He's talking like the system. His belief system is built by the system. So God separates you first. In Mark 3:14, he says, he called them to be with him that he may send them. How do you change the world that is your disciple? You don't know why most times men of God are separated and isolated. It's not a show of pride. Because they know that if the world enters them, they can be contaminated. Nobody is immune to contamination. That's why we hide in the spirit. Jesus finishes a crusade, he runs to the mountain. He ministers to people, he runs to the mountain. He wants to eat, he says, you people go and buy. He stays alone. You think it's an act in the flesh? That's the only way to survive. Your soul has been opened on account of the fall. You guide it with all diligence. You guide it. It's the Holy Ghost that carries us. But we must master the way of yieldedness. The way of absolute surrender is the key into the mountains of God. Who shall ascend unto the mountains of God? Who shall stand upon his holy hills? Him who has not lifted up his heart in vanity, whose hand is pure. See men full of flesh talking about spiritual things. Because you heard Apostle Aaron say it, you think. Go and say the same thing now. I was in a meeting where Reverend Dr. Mark Pye was saying something. Oh boy, these men have seen things. A young man came and challenged him. Say, what? Is it me you spoke to? He said, okay, look around you. Today is your last day. Just appreciate the word. Anything you want to see, see it now, because you will not see it tomorrow again. And then you go, he said, God cannot kill. The guy was crossing the road. A trailer ran into him and plowed. Why? The man said, take a good look around you. You will not see this thing again. This is the last day you are seeing it. Is God having power with God? It's the way of the mountain. You don't know the holy mountains. Forget about authority. It's not for you. I don't pray and pursue power. What I strive to do every day is to be in the center of God's will. If my obedience is complete, I know I can avenge other disobedience. These are the wisdom that the fathers know. You again, Lord, give me power. Lord, give me power. Power to heal the sick. Power to raise the dead. Meanwhile, when Adeboye kneels down, I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then he comes out, and as he stands in the stadium like this, even if they say Adeboye is coming, the whole stadium is packed without flyers. What is at work? He understands the dynamics of organic reality. You don't know. These men died. They died. Many times they cried. Some were crying. They say, Lord, don't show me mercy. Break me. Break me. Because I'm the greatest enemy of my future. I must come to a point where I completely learn the way of absolute reliance. Bishop Oedipo called it total abandonment. We believe it's about powerful words. So as you are coming for the meeting, you are charging. You talk. When you are talking, people are looking like this. You say, come and give your heart to Christ. Somebody is checking Facebook. Everything you have been saying for 2 hours, he didn't. Meanwhile, Peter stood up and just told them the story that all of them knew. And the Bible said their hearts were pricked. This was the story they all knew, but their hearts were pricked. He spoke from the womb of the Spirit. The system of the presence. I listened to Benihim preach this message. I heard it again and again. I will go and lie down. Many years ago. And then yesterday, while we were coming from Igbenidion, the lady played it again. I said, what message is this? Send it to me. These were the things that made me. These were the things that made me. When men are pursuing men and pursuing things, pursue the Holy Ghost. Stay with him. It will be boring at first, but stay there. A time will come when it will become fascinating. Because someday you will go to stay and then light will come out from the wall. And then you will look. Is there a door here? You will just wake up. And then as you woke up, you see an elder walk out of the wall. And then he's talking to you. And while he's talking, you wanted to answer. Then your spirit comes out of you and stand before him. And your spirit is talking to him, but you are here. And you woke up the next day and you are full of wisdom. And then people say, oh, but which book you they read now? You say, okay, this is the books I read. Take, they'll go and read the whole book and become more foolish. you enter the city in Zion. Because this man died, the only thing that blocks you from entering God's presence is your flesh. But when it's completed, then you enter into the presence. It is the roadmap to the presence, the path of surrender. That's where flesh dies. That's where your ambition dies, your pride dies. Some people come from it. Yesterday I preached in a place where the crowd was heavy. But I'm not moved because you are not much. It's not about what you are thinking. Luke sat down and wrote the whole gospel of Luke and sent to one person. His name is called Theophilus. As if that was not enough, he sat down again and wrote the whole story of Acts of the Apostles and sent to the same person. Have you read the book of Luke and Acts before? Some people have never read it. Because it's a body. A man sat down and wrote the whole book to send to one person. They understood the values that were in the mind of the Father. The one person that God troubles you to pray for 6 months. Others are going for crusade. Your friends are being known as apostles. So you go and open a Facebook page and put Apostle Victor. That page will be there for 10 years before you have 3 likes. They have meetings. Oh boy, I beg, make I just give 5 minutes charge. When you are giving charge, that's when all the relevant people will not come. As you are dropping the mic like this, then somebody just walks in. And then the next person that comes and says, glory to Jesus, then they say, please, can you come and minister in Lagos? Meanwhile, you were giving charge, talking Rema. The man didn't come. The moment you dropped the mic, that was where the man came. And he was looking for a missionary in Africa. And your friend that just came and said, yes, God is helping us. He said, please come, let's go to US. You go for another meeting. They finish preaching your message. You say, let's put it on YouTube. You now put it on YouTube. And you even sponsored it on Instagram. And after 3 weeks, you come and check, there are 2 views. In this kingdom, it's God that announces men. And it's only men that die that God announces. Because it is his life that makes the difference. When you are full of flesh, you are powered by another kind of life. It's the way of the presence. When you come into the presence, that's where I want to begin my message from. Oh, but I still have 30 minutes. Okay, I have 30 minutes. What happens in the presence? What happens in the presence? Everything you have been struggling to do in the flesh, that's what happens in the presence. Tell the next person. You want to raise the dead, it's in the presence. Everything you have been laboring to do in the flesh is what happens in the presence. Hallelujah. You ancient Zion's king, we cry out, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's king, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Break forth, O fountains of the deep, cry out, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's king, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You know, I love this song so much because every time I sing it, it reminds me that God is a king. You know, what will make you relevant in eternity is not because God is your father. What will make you relevant in eternity is because God is a king. You know him as a king and as a judge. Because in the world to come is a kingdom. And sons are not rewarded. Sons are the heirs of that world. But reward is given to priests and kings. Have you not noticed that your father will not give you the car to drive even though there are 10 cars in the house? You grow up first. When you begin to take responsibility, then your father gives you the whole wheel. That thing was yours when you were born. But it's when you grew up that it was wheeled to you. Those who know God as Father, they can go and sin tomorrow and come back and say, Lord, have mercy. And God will forgive them. They will sin again and say, Jesus, have mercy. And Jesus will forgive them. They will fornicate and say, God! And God will forgive them. But in eternity, they will be babes wearing pampers. The kingdom is not for babes. The heir. So long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. I try to know him every day as a king and as a judge, because I know as a judge he will just judge rightly. He will not be judged unto condemnation, because the judgment of condemnation is on the cross. But whether you and I will be big in eternity depends on our works. Joshua Selman said something, the great apostle of Jesus. He said, in Christ we are all equal, but it's our sacrifice that makes the difference. Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's king. Cry out, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You don't know how men become big. They are men of the presence. It's only men of the presence that are mighty in the kingdom. Bishop Oyedepo is a lion. You see, we talk about revival and many things that God wants to do. The territories that we are still talking and making boast of in the north, it was men like Oyedepo that conquered it. How many revival is going on in Sokoto and Maiduguri? Because the impact of his ministry was in Kaduna. These were the men that conquered those land because they were lions. Some years ago, he bought a land and the thugs came saying, nobody will enter the land. He said, if anybody steps into that land, he will be struck with irrecoverable madness. The next day by 10 a.m., three people were already mad. They ran away. They are lions. Men like W.F. Kumuye stood up and he screamed an alarm of holiness. And in his days, when he reigned and shined like the sun, you couldn't even give a job to anybody. Those days, they want to give job, they look for deeper lifers. You don't apply, they trust them. Because a man understood the systems of holiness. They are men of the mountain. You think things just happen? I sat under Apostle Aromer, he spoke, and then all my lost died. He didn't do a Bible study, he only gave a charge. How can a man deposit God in you so much? You came as a liar and suddenly you left. There's no discipline. Everything dies. They are men of the presence. Reverend, please walk towards a sick person and the cancer will go down. How is it possible? They are men of the presence. If Apostle Selman enters here now, he's a router. The man is a router. If he comes here now, there are many spiritual possibilities that will be happening on their own accord because Selman is around. You enter his meeting, things are happening, even when he's not talking. They are men of the presence. It's not about the scriptures you know. People are joking, playing around with their lives. Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You ancient Zion's king. We cry out, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. I made up my mind that even if it's 5 minutes of my clip you will hear, you will not sin again. Fire will engulf you. I will die to everything that is flesh. In my days it will be heard that men feared the Lord. You will hear you can't. Every demon that holds you down will run away. There will be hunger, strange. You cannot explain it. Certainly you will pray without ceasing. I don't know what you pursue, but me, I want to be popular among the immortals. I want to be popular in the region of Zion, so that when I show up, I will walk in eternity like an immortal. I will not be a colossus on the earth. In eternity, they will call me a patriarch. Have dead and vain priorities. Men of the mountain, it's on the mountain that the will of God is apprehended. On the mountain. Hey, I wish I had time. God will not commit anything serious to your life until you can climb the holy mountains.
Nothing serious can be committed to you. If you like, quote all the scriptures and talk big, motivate yourself. Motivational speaking cannot move you in this kingdom. In Luke chapter 9, verse 26 to 34, that was when the kingdom was handed over to Jesus. It was on the mountain. See, 6 days later, he carried Peter, James, and John, and they went there. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. They appeared before him, Moses and Elias, and they talked with him. What were they talking about? The death in Jerusalem. That was when the will of the Father was made known to him, that for you to fulfill the claims of divine justice, you must die. And where you will die is in Jerusalem. You will not die in Galilee. You will not die in Nazareth. It's in Jerusalem. And you will die the death of the cross. That was when the testament of the law and the testament of the prophet was handed over to the kingdom. Because he climbed the holy mountain. He stood there and he would not come down if it took 10 years. You run to prayer. About 10 minutes, you think it's about time. So apprehend the mind of God. What will God have you do? You follow people and think they will give definition to your destiny. Who told you men make men? The mind of God. Why was Moses so strong? This guy had body to deliver Egypt, Israel. He knew that Israel was supposed to be delivered. This is the time. But he didn't know how to go about it. He went killing the Egyptians. How many Egyptians will you kill in a lifetime? And even if you kill all the Egyptians, who told you God wants them to live in Egypt? The destination was not Egypt. The burden drove him until he went to the backside of the mountain. The Bible said he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. That was where God showed up and began to give him the blueprint of his will for Israel. The strategy was to challenge Pharaoh. The empowerment was a rod in his hand. And the mandate was to take them to the promised land. There was no way he would have known it until he ascended the holy mountains. Some of you are aware of what God wants you to do. You are saying, yes, I think God, you will think all your life. You can never stumble on the strategy until you come to the mountain and hear the voice of God. Because the voice comes with the empowerment and it comes with the mandate. John said, the one that sent me, the same said unto me. The one that sent me, there is no missing word about it. The same said unto me, upon whoever the Spirit descend and rest, he is the Messiah. He knew his mandate was to identify the Messiah. The strategy was baptism. So he was not baptizing because he learned a new way. He had it. Why? Because he was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth unto Israel. He was there until the day. So for him, prayer is not an act you carry out and come back. Prayer is the life you are sentenced to until God leads you. Funny thing we do called Christianity. The will of the Father. It's on the mountains that the encounters of your destiny are. Many are trusting God to reveal things to them. Things are not revealed on land. They are revealed in the spirit. You can't have any encounter in this life walking in the flesh. Everybody that had an encounter with God had it in the spirit. Even at the worst moment of their life, this guy had mastered the way of the spirit, or that was the only way they lived. John was sentenced from civilization to die. Frustration, nothing was working. You not even talk about family, they had none. At this time, everything, they were dead to everything. But even in Patmos, he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. That was when he was carried to heaven to show him all the dimensions of heaven. There were things shown to John that the angel told him, don't utter it. When the seven voices spoke, that one, by reason of privilege, he's the only man that know it in all eternity. The encounters of your life, they are on the mountains of God. You don't journey to the mountain, forget. Your life will be a puzzle, a stream of trial and error, and you will end up an average person. The greatest crisis of life is to know that you were born great, but end up small. Every day you will weep. That's why most people retire and they die after 3 days. When they were young, they knew they were going to rule the nation. But they lived for 65 years. And upon retirement, they ended up as custom officers. They ended up without impact. They knew the impact they were supposed to carry out. They didn't carry it out. So every day they sit outside, their life is full of regret. They see the things they should have done, they never did. Because they did not choose the way of surrender.
that living on campus, you think life ends on campus, having fun and going for clubs and parties. You are a being of the flesh. The Bible said a man in honor that knoweth not is like the beast of the field that perishes. Precious people that their lives are supposed to be vessels to give expression to dimensions of God. Precious ladies that their wombs are supposed to be gates through which kingdom emissaries are raised. They go to waste their lives for temporary pleasure because we are not taught the way of the mountain. That's where the difference of humankind lies. The encounters of your destiny are on the mountain. And life is a product of encounters. The encounters you have are what will change you. But if you don't know the way of the mountain, you will never have encounters. You will live by the stories men tell you. A preacher comes to them because you gave a very sound charge, he calls you and says you are an apostle. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. You are seated on the throne. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. You are seated on the throne. The empowerment for your destiny is on the mountain of God. Moses went to the mountain and the rod he carried became the rod of God. Something came upon the rod. Some of you, what will make you is your mind, but your mind needs to be energized on the mountain. Some of you, what will make you is your tongue. Your tongue needs to be energized on the mountain. Some of you, what will make you is your skill. It needs to be energized on the mountain. The mountain is where men are empowered for destiny. Even in the negative supernatural, they know. The guy who has the business next shop, it's not the pure water that makes him a millionaire. He knows the spirit that breathes upon it. It's only Christians that think life is a function of chance. So they are doing trial and error every day. You are a funny creature. The people of the world will defeat you in everything you do because you don't know your advantage. The guy knows his advantage is in Newi. And every December he must go to Newi with the requisite sacrifice. You are there talking. Say, God will show mercy. Ah, God love me. I am the child of God. The mountains, the cities that swallows people's destinies, they are conquered with the resources from the mountain. I did a teaching on technology of spirit civilization. I wish I had time to share some things with you. See, the city you live in have the ability to rob you of your destiny. Many people in the East today, they have the love of money, not because they were born that way. The day the city was built, that intelligence was wired into the foundation. So even if you come to church, it will not help until you find the presence. The children of Israel were being carried to the land flowing with milk and honey. They saw the pillar of cloud every day and the pillar of fire. They were walking with a mobile miracle, but it didn't change their lives. They wanted to go to Egypt and eat garlic and cucumber. Because cities have the ability of brainwashing you and making you a slave forever. Even if you see miracles every day, it will not change anything. Do you know what it means? When 3 million people are walking and a cloud from heaven is moving ahead of them, and at night that cloud becomes fire for 40 years, it didn't change their minds because Egypt had educated them. It's a technology called the technology of spirit cities. It enslaves men, but the cure is what you receive from the mountain. There's a city in the spirit called Egypt. Egypt will keep you in the world forever. Egypt will never allow you go. Because in Egypt there is Pharaoh. It is Pharaoh that makes your talent useless. It's Pharaoh that makes a king a servant. And he will slave with your talent. Nobody will know you are there. It's a system called Egypt. Egypt will keep you a perpetual sinner forever. You can't move. If you want to move, the gods of Egypt will fight you. You make resolutions every year. I want to serve the Lord. If Egypt is not dealt with, you can't. It's a system that keeps people in the world. But the cure to Egypt is the rod and the blood. The rod is the word of God. And the blood is the perfect atoning sacrifice of Jesus. That's what delivers men from Egypt. And all of these things are
in the presence. The rod of Moses is in the ark, and the blood is what you pour on the ark. When you come to the presence, you have access to the rod and the blood. It begins to speak for you, so that the powers of Egypt can't fight you anymore. That's why in 1 John 1:9, he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. If you are in the presence, the blood of Jesus works. He works. And Pharaoh will let you go on his own. You don't know why most of you live in sin. You try. It's not trying. You don't try. When you come to spirit, you don't try. You either yield or you rebel. And your safety depends on the one you yield to. Because if he's superior in rank, then you are safe. If you yield to Satan, you will perpetually burn in hell. Because God is superior in rank. But if you yield to God, Satan is in trouble. When you leave Egypt, you think you are going, then Jericho stands before you. Jericho is a city that does not allow anything come out or going. It blocks your way from destiny. You don't know why you are born again, but you can't get married. There are four of you in your house. One is 38, one is 35, one is 33, one is 31. All of you are queens. Nobody is asking for your hand in marriage. Even the boys that you bought phone for, when they collected the phone, they ran away. You have a degree. You have done your master's. You have done PhD. No job. They were okay. It's okay. You just humble yourself and do a small job. You go, they say you are qualified. It's Jericho. If you deal with Jericho, even if you carry pure water, you'll be a millionaire. It's a city. And what deals with the city is the trumpet of the priest. The trumpet. The Holy Ghost tells you what to do. And when you blast it, the city sinks. The trumpet in our dispensation is the prophecy. And the Bible said the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The Holy Ghost puts that word in your mouth and you utter it. I tell you things I have experience of. My sisters, three of them, 34 years, 32 years, two of them, not married. Until God told me, you are a priest. And he said, go and blow your trumpet. I went to them, I say, you are hereby dismissed from this house. Get married. In 6 months, three of them got married. They are living with their children now. It's a city. But if you don't know how to stand on the mountain, you will be buried in that city. Buried. The way most of them were buried in the wilderness. You will be buried. And then even when you enter into the promised land, Babylon can come and carry you like this and take you out. There are cities. Babylon does not prevent you from entering the promised land. He allows you to enter first. When you settle down and say, now I'm blessed, then he will come and carry you back to slavery and bondage. What deals with Babylon is consecration. Prayer and fasting. Because to deal with Babylon is governed by principalities. To be with Babylon, you need to interact with angels, because only princes can fight princes. That's when archangels are mobilized on your account. But for that thing to happen in the spirit, you must be on the altar perpetually. Daniel and his friends, they say they will not be defied by the king's meat. It's not enough that you are excellent too. The Bible said they were 10 times better than their peers, but they were still in what? Babylon. You can graduate with first class, but there's no prosperity. You are in Babylon. But by consecration and yieldedness to God in prayer and fasting, then the spirit realm, the powers of the spirit realm, begins to move in your favor. That's when the force of Babylon breaks. They can even make you a king in Babylon. First class. Then you become first class. You become the president of all the unemployed. And the government is giving you people stipend, 10,000. Because you are first class and you are intelligent, you'll be the one speaking on their behalf. Babylon. The cure to the affliction of humankind is the presence of Jesus. Some think it's prayer, it's not prayer. Some think it's fasting, it's not fasting. It's the presence of Jesus. So if prayer doesn't take you to the presence, is a waste. Fast fasting doesn't take you to the presence, it's a waste. When you know this, your pride about spirituality will die. You will learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. That's why every morning we come and ask for help. Have you not noticed that most prayer warriors are gallant failures? You take pride in the things you do. No. Latch onto the Holy Ghost and let not go of the Holy Spirit until He does something to your life. That's when your secret sins can fall. The crisis of your life can fall. And if you don't know the way of the presence, many lives and destinies that are tied to you will be maligned. Because in this world, we have space, we have place. The place God has given you, anybody who is within the perimeter of that place, his destiny is tied to you. That was why when Balaam fell, he became the way of Balaam. Many prophets now fall to the same iniquity of lust over money or lust over women. Is the way of Balaam. He said to Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you, to sift you like wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith faileth not. When thou art recovered, strengthen thy brethren. Why? Because when Peter becomes weak, the brethren becomes weak. They are within the ambience and perimeter of his place. Some of you are the deliverer of your family. But the more you continue in your iniquities and disalignment with the Holy Spirit, the more your family will remain in bondage. You are running and inviting prophets from far and wide. God is waiting for you to rise. I told them in the Benidion, I said, deliverance is not a function of the intervention of God. It's a function of the rise of priests. Because God has paid the price. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
See, my time is up. But you can rise now and pray. Ask the Lord to help you.
You ancient Zion's King, cry out, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. Break forth the fountains of the deep, cry out, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne.
You want to make up your mind this morning and say, Lord, I choose the way of surrender. Come forward, let me pray with you quickly. I'm not going to minister in the spirit because the next minister is here. There's no point causing a disarray. You just want to make up your mind. You've been a Christian, but you say, I want to surrender completely to your will, to your government. Just place your hand on your chest. You don't need to come forward. Let's not disalign or distort the place. And make that commitment to Jesus. Make that commitment now. Make that commitment.
You are mighty on your throne.
made this commitment this morning and you are genuine about it, just lift your hands and ask the Lord to touch you. Tell him you want an experience. Yes, you know a lot of doctrine. You have name among men. You have titles. But perhaps you are not popular among the immortals. You want an experiential walk with God. You have struggled for too long. Now you need the help of the Holy Ghost. Tell him to minister to you now. Let Jesus reign in your life. Ah, God, you reign. Yes, you reign. Jesus, you reign. Yes, you reign. Is a time to make decisions for Jesus. You can stop praying now. Just place your hand on your chest. I want to ask the Holy Ghost to minister to some people. Some of you, the Holy Ghost will just reveal things to you. Some of you, the Holy Ghost, you may just feel him tangibly. I don't want us to push so much this morning. It's more of a teaching series. Precious Holy Spirit, stop praying now. Stop praying. Only the keyboard is enough for me. Just play the keyboard very low. Just focus on the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we bring too much religion into these things. Holy Spirit, look upon our hearts. And as many as are making this decision for you this morning, stretch your hands and touch them. Anoint them. Quicken them, inspire them, strengthen them. Right now, Holy Spirit, just brood upon us like a gentle wind to help us to stand. Faithful Father, just focus on the Holy Ghost. God is going to be helping your decision to be eternal, putting strength on you. Holy Spirit, this is the time. Touch now. Like a gentle wind. Like a gentle wind. Like a very gentle wind. Minister to their hearts, Lord. Minister to their hearts. Just minister to their hearts, Lord. They are yielded vessels. Some of you are called. Some of you have been receiving instructions, but the ability to obey is not there. This is the time. Just quietly. You don't need to struggle. Just open to the Holy Spirit and allow him. I don't want to push it. I want it to be an experience. An experience of God. Some of you, he'll be prompting you to make decisions. It's a heart business this morning. Decisions you've not made before. Decisions you've been struggling with. Just calm where you are. They make those decisions to God now.
decisions.
To be a vessel in his hands perpetually. That's right. That's right. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now the Lord is going to be empowering, bringing empowerment to some of you. Some of you, your heart will become heavy. Some of you, your hand will begin to burn. Because it's time for empowerment. And so, dear Spirit of the living God, put the garment of empowerment on them now. You see, on the mountain, men shall be strengthened. Men shall be equipped for their calling, for their ordination, for their destinies. Empower them, Lord. Empower them. Put the weight of glory on them. Put the weight of glory. Let it be an inner surgery, deep within, weight of glory, weight of glory, weight of glory, weight of glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Some of you, your heart will be breaking now. You'll be weeping in compassion. You will realize how far you have wandered. It's an inner operation. Just focus on Jesus now. Just focus. Just focus. Don't be distracted. That's right. You are weeping. Just flow. Allow the Holy Spirit. It's an inner operation. It's an inner operation. It's an inner operation. You know, sometimes church gets too noisy that we don't let God do what He wants to do. It's an inner operation. Okay, stop playing the keyboard now so we don't get so emotional. Let's keep it calm so that people keep making decisions. An inner operation. Just focus on Jesus. Focus. Focus. It's more of an inner operation. Come, come. Let's keep it very calm and quiet. Come, come and hold up. It's an inner operation. Just focus, focus. Those of you that your faith needs to be helped, it's an inner operation. Make decisions. Make decisions. You mustn't feel. You mustn't feel. Just make decisions continually. If you need to reiterate it, go ahead. It's an inner operation. Very quietly. Let's not get emotional about it. Just quietly. Those who need to be helped, we'll just help them quickly. It's an inner operation. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just gently, just be talking to God. Talk to Him. Just talk to Him from the depths of your heart. Make decisions. Great meetings are meetings where great decisions are made. It's an inner operation. Just keep calm. Ushers, if you can help them to stay calm. Thank you, Lord. Sister that is weeping profusely. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We've lived lawlessly for too long. And then we come to church, we shout in tongues, and we think it's about shouting. Meanwhile, our life is far from God. Talk to Jesus. Hey, help me. It's an inner operation. Deep within, ask God to touch you, minister to you, and make decisions for Him. It's the decisions you make that will determine your relevance in the kingdom. And the direction of your commitment is the direction of your decision. You don't make decisions for God, your life will have no definite direction. What we are doing this morning, we are redirecting the paths of our destinies. We are redirecting. We are redirecting the path of our destiny. Most of us have very great destinies, but we will never realize them because we are not taught how to yield our lives to God perpetually. Life is a function of the progressive instructions of the Holy Spirit that you consistently obey. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Finally, somebody is about to be set on fire. One person is about to be set on fire for Jesus now. It's an evangelical flare. I just sense it in the spirit. And so, precious Holy Spirit, put that fire on that one as we end the meeting. Put that fire on that one as we end the meeting. Put that fire on that one. That one you are anointing. That one you are anointing. That one you are anointing. Help him so that the chair doesn't. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Our pastor is in the house. Pastor Favor, come on, can you? Just be calm. Don't distort. Let him continue flowing.